Welcome to the Tripod. We break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and tonight we are live recapping round 11. And our struggles continue, which is really killing us. We went only 1-2 on our best bets with one push as well and lost the mixed matchup. We're putting everything into these shows. I really don't think we've been too far off in our kind of previews of how the games will play out. I look back at the last 2 weeks and I see 6 best bets and 2 mixed matchups, and you'd want to be on all of them even at halftime. Every single one of them is a favorite at halftime, and yet we have 1 win of those 8 and the push in there as well. So it's been pretty rough the last couple of weeks, just when we thought we'd turn the corner, Podonis.
Yeah, 100% correct there. We thought we turned a corner. We're finding ourselves in good positions if you look at live odds. But as we know, that doesn't always eventuate into results. And as you said, on Wednesday's preview, we're in a results-based business. And unfortunately, we're just falling on the wrong side of a lot of these.
Yeah, and that hurts us with letting people down who are following along. Hopefully, people are still getting some information out of it. I mean, let's start straight away talking about round 11. And the first game of the round, we did find a winner. And I think we were on the right side of this one. There's a bit to talk about. And that was Broncos 36 beating the Knights 12, and our best bet was -5.5 with the Broncos, which we tipped on Wednesday when we had no reason to know Adam Reynolds was out. And in the end, we were a bit nervous in the first half, weren't we? Although they came good in the end.
Yeah, we were nervous. And once Reynolds was ruled out a couple hours before kickoff, the line moved from 6 to almost, it was a pick 'em. In some spots, Brisbane were $1.85 in some spots when I was checking half an hour before kickoff. And Ezra Mamm got his first grade debut, one of the young kids there through the Broncos system. And I thought he played pretty well on balance, made a few errors in the first half, but I thought he was admirable. Much like the rest of the Broncos side, they gutted out and had a resilient performance. On the back of winning last week against the Bulldogs, the Knights came out pretty hard in that first 15, 20 minutes. They had all the momentum. Scored a try, hit the lead, and Brisbane withstood a lot of pressure and territory against them. And then they got a try of their own. It was 6-6 at halftime. And then there was some controversy in the first half. The first one you'll see is the Dane Gagai no try call. A lot of people were talking about that, and I think that rule regarding separation came in the last few years. We've seen that call to no try. So I can't say that he was hard done by. It could have went either way, one of those calls. I'm glad that we were on the right side. And the Knights were in the game and we were nervous after halftime. And then, as we saw, Brisbane really dominated the second half. I think they made 11 line breaks to 2. They had double the run meters. Knights had 20 missed tackles to Brisbane's 2 in the second half. So I thought Brisbane really stamped their authority and dominance. And I think if Reynolds did play, then it would have been an even bigger scoreline, because I think Gamble and Mamm had a few last tackle plays that they'd like to take over again. But all on balance, I thought the Broncos were the right side. I'm glad we got the win, even though Reynolds was ruled out. And the Broncos are rolling 5 straight.
Yeah, I was quite worried with Reynolds out, and then Gagai was in the reserves, but he got brought in. And then I just felt this is a big spot for the Knights, and they've been utterly despicable their last 2 home games, and they're going to come out in this one. Now they're off a win. And Brisbane is a little bit vulnerable, and they're going to throw everything at them. And I was quite nervous. I felt like, well, we've gone from feeling good about our best bet to Brisbane's probably 50-50 to win this game at all, let alone cover. And the Knights had the first try, and it looked like they had the second try. Not talking about the Gagai one, but remember Fitzgibbon. He played off Ponga. It looked like he put it down, and I'm thinking, geez, Knights 12-0. We're done. It's just not going to be our night. They check that one, and he did spill the put down as well. And then a bit of a fortuitous try for the Broncos to level up at halftime, where Ezra Mamm kind of offloads, and he warmed up as the game went along, and as the game opened up, it suited him better. And then you had Billy Walters busting through the tackle, ball come loose, but not called a knock on. He scores, so even the Brisbane try wasn't, you know, too sharp. You get in at halftime, you're still not really sure that they're going to cover the line. But I thought the story of this game, as much as the Brisbane attack, which came good in the end with, I think, 5 tries in the second half, was their goal line defense, particularly outside backs, guys like Cobbo, Katoni Staggs, just shutting down their opposite numbers, some awesome tackling, some awesome desperation tackling that forced a couple of those, you know, drop balls or held the Knights up a couple of times when they looked certain to score. There was one Bradman Best, I don't know how he didn't score. A really unfortunate injury that he ended up getting. I think Katoni Staggs and Cobbo have secured Origin jerseys. And I agree, you just never see a re-grip with one hand. So I know people are saying it's a really bad call on Gagai. I think it's a harsh, it's unlucky, but you never, it just doesn't seem possible a player can be grounding the ball one-handed. And once they lose it, I've never seen it called a try. But the other call in the second half, when the scores was just 14-12, was obviously the obstruction call that was missed by the on-field ref. Broncos go the length of the field, score a try to Cobbo. I saw it straight away and I was hoping that Brisbane was going to get tackled, and Kevy said the same thing in the post-match. They score. And then once the bunker tapped in and said, we're going to look at that again, it seemed pretty clear, all right, they're going to overturn this. 40 metres out, I mean, Knights are almost in penalty range there. You got to think how the game could have gone from that moment if they got the call right, because it was an obstruction to me. I get they're saying he passed behind his man, but I thought he had slightly ran behind his man. And at the very least, it would have been Knights on the attack. You don't know. I think because the Knights are not a resilient team, they are quite mentally weak. When that went against them, they kind of cracked. Suddenly they were down 8. The Brisbane scored quite a miraculous try for fifth tackle where they kept it alive. And I think it was Mam as well, or Gamble, that kicked back inside, and eventually Coates got there and it was game over, and they scored a try off an intercept on the final play. So the scoreline blew out. Mixed bag from Milford in his first game of 2022 as well. Some scary moments, as in scaring the opponent, but then probably some scary moments scaring his own team as well. But we got the result there, even though I think we were very lucky with the bunker call, because you don't know what could have happened in those final 15. If they got that call right and gave the Knights opportunity to attack. On Friday, we lost a best bet. This was a bit rough as well. West Tigers beat the Bulldogs 36-22. Our best bet was Bulldogs to score under 17.5. They had no points in the first half. And the worst attacking team we've seen in years scores 4 second half tries to deny us. It ended up costing us 2 bets, because it ended up costing us the mixed matchup the next day as well, put on us.
Yeah, very, very disappointing in that first 5 to 10 minutes after halftime. I thought the Tigers were dominant early. The crowd really got behind them. And the Bulldogs came out looking flat and uninspired. And we said on Wednesday that perhaps Trent Barrett's departure wouldn't necessarily give them a boost. And it proved that way in the first 40. And then in the second half, Burton scores on the 42nd minute. Marshall King goes down the from halfway off the kickoff off that try on the 45th minute. And then Jacob Carraz scores on his second game on the 54th minute. So all of a sudden, the Tigers are in the game.
And there's a sin bin there as well.
And there's a sin bin, which I thought was pretty harsh, to be fair, because when you see the replay, it was Hastings got back on the goal line, so he wasn't offside. And then they saying that he left early. So that, again, was another touch-and-go call that went against us. But then for those people who were on the Tigers, I think that they got another one in their favour when Schlupp got sent to the bin as well for that spear tackle. And then Tigers scored a few tries late. And then, of course, the Dogs cruelly score again on the 73rd minute to kill our best bet when we had 17.5 and they score in the corner. Didn't really need the conversion there. It didn't matter for us in this particular instance because the try sent it over. But very disappointing second half from the Tigers, even though you look at the scoreline and you see they win by 13 plus.
Yeah, that's what I mean by, like, I don't know if our bets were that bad, just the results were. Like, who did we bet against this weekend? The Knights. They folded and they got beat by 26 or something. And we bet against the Bulldogs and they got beat by 14. And then we bet against the Dragons, and we'll get to that game. It was anybody's game. We were getting +6. And then we bet against the Storm in the way that we took our bet, and the Storm got flogged, but our bet didn't win either. We somehow only go 1-2 out of that. And the Bulldogs, they just got soft tries second half because the Tigers got too far in front. And it's like extra salt into the wounds because, Podonis, your suggested play for this was play under 18.5 first half. And I liked that idea of unders, and I thought, I'm just worried about a bit of a Tigers blitz in case the Dogs are just, you know, just not there and they've just had the week from hell. Well, it was four first half tries to none by the Tigers, so you wouldn't want under 18.5, but they missed three conversions. So there were only 18 points in the first half. So that would have won by half a point. But I thought I'll steer us into you liking unders and I like Tigers. I'll steer us into Bulldogs under 17.5. And a couple of those tries, like, they scored from dummy half with three players had Marshall King and he wrestled past them. And then even the Ida Karaz, like, they didn't have numbers. I don't know what the young winger, Tigers winger, is it Tupo, what he's doing. They let in a try where there wasn't even numbers, just go through the hands there. Just got done by a stutter step by Shop, I think. And just such soft tries to give up because the only reason the Tigers gave those tries up was because they had a comfortable lead. Unfortunately for us, we've seen that in some games this year. Teams get out too far in front. And actually, I don't know why. I guess it's a combination of the opponent just throws caution to the wind and just the human psychology of letting up when you're comfortably in front because, yeah, the Tigers just had no reason to concede so many points to the Dogs. But there you go. And because the Warriors only score 18 the next day, that late Bulldogs try cost us both bets, as I said. Now, the next game was the game of the round and lots to talk about out of this one too. Eels 22 with a late sideline conversion, getting the win over Manly 20. And the result is almost the least of their worries. The reports are that Turbo may be out for the season after a shoulder dislocation in the game as well. So a brutal night out for Manly.
Yeah, very sad news for all rugby league fans. You don't like to see players get hurt or injured, and Turbo is one of the best, and you always like to see him on the field scoring tries and setting up plenty of plays, especially in the Origin Arena. So Queensland might have a shot this year. Fingers crossed for you Queensland fans, even though I'm a Blue myself. But yeah, I thought this was the game of the round. Very high quality contest, back and forth game. I thought both defenses were on show, even though the points did sail over in wet conditions. I thought both teams were pretty resilient on their try lines. And a bit of a controversy late in this game when Manly had a 20-12 lead. Oh, sorry, I think it was 20 to 10 lead. And then once the Eels scored, pegged it back to 20-16. And they were attacking Manly's line and Manly give away a sin bin. I can't remember who it was there. I think it was
Kepi?
Kepi with the spear tackle. And
yeah,
it was a very similar one to the game before that in the Dogs game. So I think he had to go from that point of view. And then Eels spread the ball to the left and their winger there, Hayes Perham, looks like he's going to score and he gets taken in the head. I think it was a head high, even though he was slipping. It was a tough call from Tipu Latua. And Manly Eels got the ball back. Manly had to defend. And then after that, the one that I did think was a tough call was a forward pass that wasn't called on Junior Paulo. And that gave the Eels the ball again. And then they score in the corner on the opposite wing. So I think that was tough when Simonson scored there. They shouldn't have had the ball back. And then Cherry Evans put a great kick into touch with 30 seconds left. And Manly had a chance to win the game again. But Mitch Moses with a nice sideline conversion to take the lead there. And I think Eels showed plenty of resilience. But I don't take anything away from Manly in this game. I actually thought that they showed up. And it was a great, great battle. And I think Manly, if they play like that, then they can definitely cause some trouble. But with Turbo out now, I just wonder whether Manly hit a flat spot in their season. And it's a bit disheartening for the club overall.
It's one thing if he's out for a few weeks, but they know he's coming back because they can keep fighting for ladder position because they know he raises their ceiling and makes them, you know, maybe a contender. Certainly people felt that way before the season, probably haven't seen enough to say they're a contender, but this is pretty much the same squad that made the top four last year. But if he is out for the season, it's just brutal because they know they're a bottom half of the top eight side at best, realistically. And right now they find themselves outside the eight. So that's what made this result and this whole night so brutal for them. After they turned up after a no-show in Magic Round, and as you say, they led 20-10. I did think I thought the high shot was incorrect. So interesting to hear that you thought Tupolotta caught Perham high. I wasn't sure. I really thought not only did he slip, but I thought the contact was off the chest. It just looked dramatic. So I thought that was rough, as was the missed forward pass call as well. look clutch by Moses in the end, and Parramatta held their nerve, kept themselves in the game, but they got those calls to go their way to allow them to keep building pressure, get the two tries they needed and the sideline conversion. I thought Madison has also been in career best form. A big win for the Eels, obviously a side that wanted to bounce back from Magic Round 2, although they did play pretty well. They, you know, they want to win games like this to be a top four side. So it's a huge win to propel Parramatta, and such a deflating loss for Manly on the other hand. And this game was deflating for us too, because we had a best bet as well as the mixed matchup on the line in Dragons Warriors, and the Dragons won 24-18. And I really feel it was anybody's game. It's a game that the Warriors did lead at halftime, did hold a lead, scored the first try in the second half as well. We're in a position to win both our bets, even though the Bulldogs had put on 22. But then the Warriors didn't score again after the 43rd minute. How frustrating was that second half put on us?
Yeah, extremely frustrating, especially when Zalesniak scored and with 37 minutes left in the match, the Warriors are leading by 10 points. So from that point of view, you think that they're going to come out.
Must have been leading by 6 points, I think. 18-12 it was, because the Dragons never missed a conversion.
Dragons never missed a very good, yeah, sure, fair point there. But yeah, so again, another one of those games where the tries are even and somehow we find ourselves on the wrong end of the result, which is very, very frustrating from our point of view. And all you have to go back is just the kickoff and what a disaster that was for the Warriors. And Lomax scores, just a comedy of errors play when you and Aiken couldn't clean up the grubber. And then all of a sudden they're down 6-0 and we've got plus six. And we're thinking to ourselves, here's another day where the Warriors come out a bit flat or make plenty of mistakes. But to their Warriors' credit, they fought hard. They came back into the game. I thought they had the Dragons on the ropes there for a large period in the second half before the Dragons hit back and regained some of the momentum on their own. And I think the Warriors would rue plenty of missed chances. They had quite a few opportunities when they spread the ball and got on the Dragons outside, but they just couldn't seem to make that line break or that half break, led to a straight pass. And overall, very frustrating. And Reece Walsh has been an excellent goal kicker so far this year. Misses three.
And he missed them all identical. Like, they were all to the right of the post. And they're all faded left by, like, 10 metres. So I feel like he was going to adjust. But no, all kicks were carbon copies of one another. So three missed conversions. And we pushed with our plus six. So it was worthwhile playing the mechanical. But as I was saying in the forum, if we didn't find the ability to play the plus six, if we could only play plus four and a half, then I would have taken plus two and a half first half. And the Warriors had the lead. So it's just one of those things where we like a side, then, you know, we pride ourselves on the best way to execute our handicap. And that is the best way to get at the team that we like. And we felt that that was the best way. And hey, it actually could have lost because the Dragons had the ball right at the end too, when the Warriors were forced to take extra risks. And there was a moment with like 20 seconds left where Johnson got injured or got a head knock, making a tackle on Jack Bird. The game was stopped for like 2 or 3 minutes before the final play. And in all that time, the Warriors didn't think maybe the Dragons will have a field goal shot. They threw it back to Ben Hunt. He gets a field goal shot away. Luckily for us, it does miss, or else I would definitely say the Warriors curse rears its head again. But yeah, we needed six more points. And as I say, the Warriors didn't score again in the final 37 minutes of the game. It was slippery conditions. Despite that, and a few games had rain this weekend, I think every game went over, which is pretty crazy. You go back to Magic Round and maybe only one or two at the most, or one game. Well, the very first game of Magic Round went under. And then I think only one other game went under all of Magic Round. And I believe 8 out of 8 overs this weekend. But the two moments that decided this game was Lomax escaping his in goal when the Warriors were on the attack and putting pressure on. They got the ball in behind and they let the Dragons out. And at one point, Lomax, he looked like he's going to get out and he's held up in the tackle in his in goal. And he's got about 4 or 5 teammates behind him, trying to push him, trying to get him out. And then about 5 or 6 Warriors pile in on the other side. And they're pushing and it was like a rugby scrum and they're pushing. And then it just ends up in a pile of bodies and they find Lomax is a foot outside of his in goal when he had no right to escape. And that was huge because then the Dragons made a break or got a penalty. I think a play later, and that just robbed the Warriors of a huge opportunity. And another moment late in the game where the Dragons are coming out of their own territory and they spilled the ball back 20 metres on the ground and Ben Hunt went to regather it. Like, best case scenario for the Dragons, they're going to regather it on their own 30 and it's fifth tackle. The Warriors dive for it as well. The ball gets called out off of the Dragons. It would have been attacking set by the Warriors. By some technicality, the Dragons still had a challenge available, even though they got the challenge wrong earlier in the game. By technicality, they said the Dragons had challenged who the ball came off, and it technically nicked a Warrior that didn't play at it. So anyway, that came back to burn the Warriors because that challenge overturned it and gave the Dragons a fresh set. Absolutely huge moment with a few minutes to go. It's the difference between Dragons fresh set on their 30 and they can attack, or the Warriors would have had them under. So those are the huge moments. That's the difference in the game. We had plus six and still somehow didn't even win. And it hurt even more next game where I felt like we didn't get the handicap that wrong. And it was the first game of the season where we wanted to back the Cowboys, which obviously means we've been late to the party. But, you know, I knew that when we both liked the Cowboys, we'd get on them this week. And they beat the Storm 36-6, which is a pretty crazy result. Certainly will raise some eyebrows. So when we were looking at executing that play, you could play plus 6.5, which we were very close to doing, as we shared on Wednesday night. And then we felt the even stronger way to play that was that same game multi and take that line all the way up to 12.5. But we would lose if the Cowboys won 14+, and of course they won by 30. So Jerome Hughes going out a day or two later didn't help us, but still we're in a great position. We're even in a great position up until halftime. And then that second half was super impressive by the Cowboys, just frustrating for us.
Yeah, 100%. And it was my favorite underdog of the round. And I even tipped on Dabble halftime full time at $3.80. Just a shame we couldn't execute the best play, as you said, and where we needed the game to stay close. And once Jerome Hughes was ruled out, the line trickled all the way down to 2.5. And I even saw some plus 1.5 just before kickoff. And that instantly made the either team 1-12 market around $1.45 or $1.50 on most sites. So we got quite a nice edge there. Just a shame it didn't materialize that way. And it was the biggest crowd that Townsville's had since the stadium reopened. And it really showed. And that's one of the key factors we thought the crowd would be behind the team. And they put in a great performance in the first half. And I did feel that at 12-6 up, the game was still in the balance because Melbourne had quite a lot of chances in that first half and had more of the ball. But the Cowboys seemed to take their chances. And their two tries, I wouldn't say they came against the run of play, but they came against their first or second try in the Melbourne red zone. Whereas I really think one thing that Bellamy did get wrong was moving Harry Grant into half. I thought that backfired on big time because not only did they lose a bit of continuity in the ruck there, but his kicking game wasn't quite right and they lacked any spine combination. And especially with their backline plays, it looked very ordinary and clunky. But the Cowboys just keep on rolling. And then once they came out of halftime, they didn't look back. I think Melbourne only had seven completed sets in the second half, which is just unheard of for a Melbourne team. And Nanai again scores a double, is leading try scorer in NRL. And these young kids are absolutely flying and disappointing to like them, but somehow find a way to lose, Jacob.
We'll have to talk about Origin. I think the teams get picked in 7 days from now. And Nanai certainly, you know, thrown himself into the discussion as a few Cowboys have. Going back to like how we play the game, obviously you play plus 6.5. It also would have been a great price once Hughes was ruled out. We said there was a good chance of that happening. But look, I can't second guess the way we played it too much. Of course, plus 6.5 is a slam dunk winner. And the one that we bet, the way we went, was dead with like 20 to go. So it hurts. But at the end of the day, if you bet on something and then the result ends up being a huge surprise, you can't be too unhappy when you don't win. We didn't see this coming. We played the bet the way we did because we thought Melbourne would rebound as well from their really disappointing defeat at the hands of Penrith. And it's crazy that this Storm side that was winning 3 in a row, an average margin of nearly 50, has now lost 2 weeks in a row by 30. And I know no Papenhuyzen and no Hughes, but they're not the guys that are out there making all the tackles either. So you do have to dissect what's wrong with the Storm. And I think something that I will say as well is I've just gone to take for granted that the Storm have great depth. because for years and years, we've seen them put new players into positions and always do a job and nobody lets them down. But you're starting to see, like, Marian Servo was out there, Dean Aramea, and these guys, they were letting them down. You know, Wishart, I'm not specifically saying individuals cost them, but I'm just saying that they're getting a lot of new faces in there and they're not getting the same level of performance. And I want to give a shout out to Kyle Gordon, whose comment is on the screen right now. He broke it down. He put a big write-up in our group about why Penrith was the sharp side to beat Melbourne in Magic Round. And then he backed that up this week with Cowboys 13 plus and the reasons behind it. And he's talking about, okay, yes, the loss of Hughes and Pappenhausen, we understand that. And as we say, Hughes wasn't out when we tipped on Wednesday, so it is a bit tougher for us. I also really liked the Cowboys' chance to win once I knew Hughes was out. But he's talking about all those other losses. You know, Nelson was out this week too. They lost Welch in round one. It does add up. It's, you know, and they've played two really good sides. And on the other side of the equation, you're right. So Cheese played hooker, Meany played fullback, Grant played halfback. I didn't mind this, the element of surprise in that. And I thought, you're getting your best players' hands on the ball. I was happy with that. Now, the halftime score was 12-6 to the Cowboys. They did start the game slight underdogs. And the reason I thought we're still in an ideal position with our bet was because Tal Malolo also injured his knee in the first half and wasn't going to come back. So there was just as much chance in my mind that the Storm were going to come back and win the game. Like, it wasn't obvious in the first half that the Storm were in serious trouble. But that second half, man, that Cowboys, their defense is on another level. How they've turned it around from last year is just outstanding, or astounding, I should say. And in attack, it's like, it's everybody. But like Cotter again, Hiku, both sides of the ball, Gilbert, and all the key positional players stepping up, Robson playing on the back of that pack. And this game was a classic, you know, in retrospect, WTF, wrong team favored, home team, breakout season against that established side that just, the odds are a little bit lower just because of respect in the marketplace, but the truth of the matter is they were down on troops. They probably shouldn't have been favourites. We can say that, you know, in hindsight. And it comes back to a lot of us overestimating the Storm. I asked Tristan, he's not weighing in. He was had some commitments at the Titans game today, but I asked him for some market insights and asked who the money was on in this Cowboys Storm game. And he said, bit of money on Cowboys early, especially people were smashing them when they heard Hughes was out, but late, they took big money on the Storm, which makes me think that there's still a lot of educated and larger punters out there that still thought they're getting a great price on the Storm. It just didn't play out that way at all. And the Cowboys are well entrenched in the top four and they look like contenders. They're arguably, well, they are the second best form team in the comp, behind only the side that on their night is absolutely unbeatable. And that's the Penrith Panthers, who defeated the Roosters 32-12, and it was just typical Penrith, wasn't it?
Yeah, typical Penrith. Didn't give the Roosters a chance in this game, got out to a lead early and restricted them out of the contest. And he spoke about Origin and the team's going to get named next week. Well, here's one player, Stephen Crichton, put his hand up again, and it was capped off by a bomb that he defused when he jumped up in the air, beat Tupou, and then brushed off Crichton and runs 70 metres untouched. Scores a try there to take the game to 22-0 lead at that point in time. And then Penrith just keep on rolling. And the Roosters got a sin bin late in that game. And the scoreline could have been even worse. But to the Roosters' credit, they scored a consolation try and held out the Panthers at the end after Hargraves was off. But I won't take too much away from the Roosters, because we called on it last week that they put in so much into that Eels game. And then knowing the run they do have, it was probably one of those games where I wouldn't say that they were happy to let go, but in the back of their minds, they know that they've got some more winnable games against some of the sides around them, whereas Penrith, at the moment, they're just untouchable.
Yeah, so I think Crichton would have been an unlucky omission from the Blues side. I think Staggs was going to get this left centre position that's kind of vacated by Latrell, but now Tommy Turbo won't be at right centre. I think now Crichton gets that other spot. And actually, I think you can play Staggs in his natural right center, and you'd play Crichton in left center, which he did used to play for the Panthers. And I think another guy who I reckon will play would be Coruscant. I think you keep the continuity of all the key positional players of Penrith. They're going too good. And Souths, who we'll get to, that even though Cookie scored today, just a little bit more patchy. And I would unseat the incumbent there, and I would play Coruscant. So a lot of Panthers, I think To'o will get a wing spot as well. You know, and Luai, who scored a double in this game, Penrith just got on top, field position, camped on the Roosters' goal line. I was actually saying, now, again, I didn't really expect a lot out of the Roosters in this one. No Radley, Tupanua ruled out midweek. But I was saying, I think, in the preview that I feel like the Roosters' goal defense has been really good. And then watching this game, they said, statistically, the Roosters are the best goal line defense in the comp. I thought, geez, that's gone a bit far. They're better. I wonder how they measure that. Maybe they must be on their goal line more often than other teams like Penrith. So in terms of how many tackles per try or something, they were on there again. And they gave up two tries the exact same fashion, spread the ball wide. Penrith were going left every time. And Luai breaking the tackle both times, getting a double. The back breaking try was right at the end of the first half, where Penrith got down the Roosters' end and you thought they were setting up for a field goal for a 13-0 halftime lead, and Coruscant just dummied and then went in and scored, and it was 18-0. It was never going to be, you know, a competition in the second half. And for the Roosters to only lose the second half by 2 points is almost misleading. There's a comment about why was it a sin bin. So Warrior Hargraves slapped Fisher Harris across the face as he was scoring. So that's a foul play, inactive scoring. So it is an 8-point try. And then he got the sin bin because of basically swearing at the ref and complaining about being put on report. And the bunker's the ones that put him on report, not the actual on-field ref. So it's pretty silly, although it didn't like really hurt the Roosters because they actually got the backdoor try. But, Penrith's way too good disposing of another side. Though I think the Roosters are a contender, but they weren't at full strength and they were just up against it from the jump Saturday night. Let's move to Sunday. So I want to throw this one at you, Podonis. It was Raiders 32 beating the Rabbits 12. We didn't have a play on the game, but I do recall on Wednesday night you said you'd be shocked if the Raiders win, or you can't see the Rabbitohs losing this. But they did lose by 20. So how do you explain that one?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say shocked because, as we know, in the NRL, anything can happen on any given
day. Well, I remember you said something like that, and I was thinking, all right, what odds do you want to give me on the Raiders if you couldn't see the Rabbitohs losing? I would have taken some juicy odds on the Raiders. But then the news actually came out on Thursday that the Raiders might have had a flu in their squad, and I was thinking, good old Podonis, I'm glad he steered us off any Raiders plays because that might have been a disaster if the Raiders have all got the flu. They didn't play like it today.
No, a bit of smoke and mirrors maybe from Ricky Stewart in the camp there. I said on Wednesday that I could only see a South win given the run that they've been on and the upcoming draw, and they have to start banking wins. But the Raiders came out hard, dominated the forward pack, and I do have to take a good hard look at South, and I do have to downgrade them. So I think it's fair that they aren't a top eight team at the moment. And they're playing like a team in the bottom eight, and that's for sure. Obviously, it hasn't helped missing Cam Murray, and they're still missing Mitchell. But I did think that they would be able to recover and make those players seem not as a drastic loss. But Canberra, and you touched on it, so credit to you, Winnie, when they had two wins in a row, built some confidence. They got their best player back in Whiten. And they haven't looked back, and they dominated from start to finish. Cody Walker, again, mixed bag of a game, and I'm really questioning his form at the moment. It doesn't look like he's right fitness-wise as well. He seems to be lacking a bit there. And I don't know, Blake Taff played center, and again, it was another questionable one, and they still haven't figured out how to best slot Nikorima. So plenty of question marks about South, but... And I think they've lost 56-12 in the two games that they've taken a Dubbo this year. So I think they'd be regretting signing that 5-year deal to go there. But that's another discussion for another day. But Canberra, 3 wins in a row, and they're on the same point as South now all of a sudden. And there's a few teams right around the 8, 9, and 10, and Canberra are definitely back into the contention.
You know what the perfect tonic sometimes is? Beating the Bulldogs. You get your confidence back, you beat the Bulldogs, and then just things just pick up from there. We saw Brisbane do it 5 weeks ago. They beat the Bulldogs. They haven't looked back. They've won 5 in a row. We saw the Raiders were absolutely struggling, hadn't won a game for 6 or 7 weeks. They beat the Bulldogs. Then the next week they beat the Sharks, and this week they beat the Rabbitohs. And what I saw from the Raiders this afternoon was the exact same team that played the Sharks last week. And the story of the game was outstanding Raiders defense, because the crazy thing about this game is the Raiders won by 20. They didn't have any more ball or any better ball. If anything, the Rabbitohs had more tackles in the Raiders set, in the Raiders 20, than the other way around. So they were actually under pressure for a long period of time, and they defended really well, as they did against the Sharks, and they were under pressure a lot. Magic round and still won the game by 20 there. So the Raiders are on the up. They are level on points now, and they're trending in the right direction. And there's even talk Fogarty could be back sooner than people expected. And obviously Whiten rejoined the side today. So then what's wrong with Souths? You know, I just think teams know what they're going to do. I don't know. Like last year, maybe they caught sides by surprise in the way that they stripped them for numbers and scored so often and so effortlessly and executed so well with their sweeping backline plays not working. I know, like, yeah, Latrell's not here, but Latrell wasn't there in the last six or so weeks of the season last year either. So I don't know if it's – I think Walker, he's not in the same form as last year, where he was kind of like top three in Dally M. But I do feel like the opponents are so much more keyed in on how he plays and what he does, because the competition's well aware of what a threat he was. You wouldn't think teams would have underestimated Souths last year, but I do feel like Souths were a little bit slept on last year. And they're not now, because they made the grand final and everyone knows kind of what works for them, and everybody's shutting it down. And that makes life very difficult for Rabbitohs. Only reason they scored a couple of tries was once they were already down 20 plus and they had to throw it around. So pretty awful result. The only saving grace for Souths, and we've obviously got a futures multi that needs the Souths to make the top eight, could be that Manly, that turbo injury. You know, that you would have definitely thought Manly will climb back into the eight with Turbo, healthy Turbo. Now, that's debatable, but the pressure is right on them. They've got winnable games, South Sydney do, in the next 3 weeks, and it's going to be pivotal. They have to absolutely win at least two of the next three, maybe even win three of the next three. And other good news, I heard that Cam Murray may be back sooner rather than later, and then Latrell's the X factor, so... You know, we've got that still in the balance. Certainly wouldn't give up, but the form they're showing right now, they won't make the eight. But there's plenty of time to turn things around. Luckily for us, there's time for us to turn our form around as well. We've got one more game to talk about. This was a sneaky, exciting finish when it looked like it was just going to be a blowout. The Sharks beat the Titans 25-18 in a very wet game with just one try apiece at halftime before the Sharkies kind of blew the game apart in the second half, but honest.
Yeah, the Sharks won this game in the 15 minutes just after halftime, where the first 40 was a bit of an arm wrestle, and it was a back-and-forth contest. The conditions didn't help either side. It was a game in the trenches and in the forwards. And then just after halftime, the Sharks put on some plays there, and then they also we saw a breakaway try off a bomb on last tackle to the debutant Lachie Miller there. It was great to see his speed and excitement in open play. When are the Gold Coast going to put in a full 80-minute performance and not rely on these last 5-10-minute rallies trying to win the game late? It seems like every time they're at home against a good side, like they find themselves down by double digits late. Happened against Parramatta as well, where they scored a try to make it exciting. Jared Wallace grabs a double there. But I think the Sharks showed their class, and it was a bounce-back spot for them. And we did lean to them, just couldn't find enough of an edge to take them. And then once the rain came in and it was wet conditions, points on paper looked even more valuable, but didn't prove that way again with the total going over. And for those of you who took the 6.5 with the Gold Coast, you were brutally beaten by Nicho Hynes' field goal with about 20 seconds to go, which would have hurt. I know the Undertaker was on the Gold Coast, but I think the Sharks bounce back, and the Sharks etch their way back closer towards the top four, and they'll be looking forward to getting some of their key players back in the next few weeks.
Yeah, although, like, you know, you think that they need Kennedy back, but the talent of this Miller, they didn't miss Kennedy too much today, scoring kind of dry weather tries when you thought like there wouldn't be many more points. And as I say, it was one try each in the second half, and then the Sharks actually scored some long range tries. They weren't afraid to throw the ball around, throw some cutout passes. And if you're willing to do that and you can execute even in poor weather, then it's going to be very hard to chase you down. But then the Titans, kind of out of nowhere, similar to what I've spoken about with some other teams, putting their cue in the rack. Titans go bang, bang, score a couple of converted tries inside the final 10 or 12 minutes and had the game within six. And the Sharkies had to be nervous for 3 minutes to go, but then the Titans did spill the ball off the kickoff. Now, remind me, Padonis, this line on Wednesday was 6.5?
Yep, 6.5, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we'd laid that, I mean, in the end we would have won, but, like, it was way too close for comfort, needing that kind of meaningless field goal. Just because it was only a few seconds left, Nico didn't have to kick that one to rub the salt into the wounds there. So,
but sorry, on Friday when I posted my multi, the Sharks were -4.5.
I noticed it dropped down. Did you ever figure out why it came down? Maybe just the predicted weather pushed that line a bit further down?
It pushed it down for about 4 or 5 hours and then it went back to 6.5. So for all those who took it, you didn't need the field goal, but nonetheless, you got there anyway on the Sharkies.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the people who had laid the -6.5 or whatever, and they're winning 24-6, and it looked like they're going to win by 40. And then that ridiculous comeback and the sideline conversion by Azarko nearly really hurt the Sharks backers. And, you know, there's always someone who's on the positive side and the negative side, and I'm sure there's people out there who did have Sharks 13-plus or whatever, or in your same game multis, and you are feeling a bit hard done by. We didn't get a Talakai try for our winning mood. 2 out of 3 bet, which would have been nice. You would have thought he'd be a good chance in the conditions. I think he had an assist today, but no joy. So it was quite a frustrating week for us yet again. But we'll dust ourselves off. We're back for round 12 to preview and try and find our favorite plays that we can on Wednesday and share with you why. So thanks for joining us as always, guys. Thank you, Padonis, for joining me, taking the time, mate. We'll get back to work. We'll talk again on Wednesday.
For sure. See you, everyone.
Lego.